Welcome, Radio St. Pete, to another episode of Music Scene, where we see and hear from local, regional, and national musicians. With us today is probably one of the most magnificent singers I have discovered in this new age of the last decade. Welcome, Alexis Cole.
Thank you so much, Nanette. How are you?
I'm doing great, Alexis, and we can't wait to see you at the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival playing with the Helios Big Band on April 1st. The Palladium Theater. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing this year and what's new with you. Let's start with that.
Sure, yeah. Well, I actually decided to go back to school and use my GI Bill. I am a veteran. I served, as you may know, with the West Point Band for 6.5 years, and that's in the Army. I was a staff sergeant in the Army. And, you know, I have this GI Bill just sitting there waiting for me. So I wanted to work on my Spanish, and then I thought, you know, why don't I just use the full GI Bill and go back to school? And it's been so amazing. I'm going to be 50 next year, and I just feel like I'm in a renaissance moment where I'm just enjoying really learning new things. I'm taking 2 art history classes and Spanish and a course that talks about history through the lens of food in our country. So it's all really exciting. And I just went to the museum yesterday. I went to the Met. And a few days before that, I went to the Museum of the Native American in New York, which is actually a Smithsonian museum. I had been to both of those museums about a month before, and the difference in seeing those artworks with all that context just blew my mind. So I feel like being an artist, it's really important to feed yourself continually throughout your life, and I've done a lot of travel, but things can really come to life for you when you start engaging with history, philosophy, and art, and I'm really excited to be having the freedom to do this at this point in my life.
Well, you know, in a way, you are a historian in the sense that you sing some of the things you sing. Of course, you have original music, but, you know, it's interesting when you, I'd be interested to see how this new path, yet another encore chapter, infuses the music that you'll be doing in the future.
Yes, great point. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the classes I'm taking is the 18th and 19th century painting. And it's just so interesting. I mean, jazz is, you know, start as we get a little bit later, you know, will start to come up. And I know how much it, the conversation in the 20s and 30s between artists and jazz composers and musicians related.
So we can now say that you are truly Alexis Cole, a Renaissance woman.
Well, I mean, sure, you could say whatever. Yes, I mean, I think the things that make me that are more the, you know, my entrepreneurship with the jazz voice and teaching and the performing. But this is just a side quest.
Well, you know, nothing in life is a side quest, but, you know, it's so thrilling to talk about this because I think this is really inspirational to young people and people just entering the music field or wanting to do music, that music is a lifelong journey to be expanded to other things. So let's just jump into the teaching and the jazzvoice.com that you're founder and director, and you have some things going on with this year's programming.
Yes, and also our in-person gathering in Virginia Beach in June called the Virginia Beach Vocal Jazz Summit. That's it's in its 5th year, and I'm the co-founder and co-director of that. So yeah, Jazz Voice, I started it during the pandemic, and it is still going strong. We meet about 5 or 6 times per month online for different masterclasses. We have a masterclass coming up next week with Veronica Swift, so that's really exciting. She's, of course, an incredible singer and daughter of Stephanie Nicassian, who makes her way down to St. Pete often. And then that's a membership group, so you can like become part of our community or you can just come one-off. But we have a library of over 400 classes that we've done in the last 5 years. So when you become a member, you get access to that library, and it's just an incredible value at just $35 a month. We try to keep it affordable so everyone can participate. And then our in-person gathering is the Virginia Beach Vocal Jazz Summit, which is co-founded by the theater in Virginia. People always ask, why is it in Virginia Beach? But it's the theater's production, and I started out as the artistic director and then became the co-director. And this year we're going to have Renee Marie and Christy DeShiel, a wonderful D.C. singer who just got nominated for a Grammy, and Samara Joy, who was my student at SUNY Purchase, who won 5 Grammys so far, even though she's just 25. She won one this year for best jazz performance, which is very unusual for a singer to do, no less with a ballad. And also she won for best jazz album with a Christmas album, which also never happens. She's just on fire, Samara Joy. And she studied with me for 3 years at SUNY Purchase, so I'm so proud of her. And then we're going to also have Kate McGarry, who's North Carolina-based, a wonderful singer, and Theo Blechman, and a few other people doing different master classes and things like Paul Jost, a wonderful singer from New Jersey, and Lydia Liebman, the daughter of Dave Liebman, who is a publicist, is going to come and do like a publicity roundtable about marketing your CD and how to sort of make your way through marketing and publicity. So it's and Matt Baker, who runs the Ultimate Live Singer workshop, that it's an online course that he created with Veronica Swift and Benny Benack and Nicole Zoraitis, and he's going to be there as well presenting and leading the jam session. So I just it's an incredible 3-day event of concerts, jam sessions, and workshops. And, you know, a wonderful way to meet people socially and who are doing what you're doing. So it's really great for professionals, semi-pros, and of course also amateurs. And the word amateur, we love that word at Jazz Voice and in the summit, because it comes from the word for the love of. And we think that doing this music for the love of is one of the best ways to do it. So we promote that word. We've taken it back.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. And you're recording this summer. You know, I want to just point out, folks, if you're listening and you're not in St. Petersburg, Alexis Cole Quartet is going to be at the Jazz Club at Amman, New York on April 10th. Then she is going to be in Savoy, Denver, which is very exciting. And then she is going to be in Mount Kisco, New York on April 25th. And then May 10th at the Bronx Music Hall for Gigi Grice celebration. And then, of course, the Vocal Summit. Let's talk about My Father's Heart, June 15th at the Strand.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I know it's not nice to tell people's age, but he's 75 this year. And when he turned 70, I gave him a grant. He's very, like, you know, he was working. And I'm like, you need to focus on your music. Here's a grant to work with somebody to get all your music written down. Because I knew it's selfish, because I knew, you know, if he's in very good shape, I'm not worried about his health. But if he dies, everybody's going to look at me and say, what did Dad write? And I would be like, I don't know. Can you read that? So, and he's so wonderful, such a prolific composer as well. And so I worked with him and another musician to help get all his music transcribed into like the format, if you bought like an Elton John songbook, you know, you see piano part, chord changes, and the lyrics and the melody. So we got about half of his songs done during that time. I gave the grant a 3-year expiration, so it would happen, you know. So we sort of started this 5 years ago, and then this year we did a recording session in video and audio recording session of 3 of the songs to sort of kick it off, and those can be seen on my YouTube channel. And then he booked this concert with the Strand and for Father's Day. So it's really exciting. He's a Christian musician and his music is so sophisticated and beautiful, and which I feel is kind of a departure. There's a lot of kind of bad Christian contemporary music, in my opinion, very basic, and he's such a genius, Nanette. I'm so like overwhelmed by him. Both his lyrics and his sense of harmony and rhythm and his ability to write great hooks that just stick in your mind and don't go away. He has all that. And I just love singing his music. My family's born Jewish, and my father was the first one to become born again. I became Christian myself in my 20s. And although my father's, you know, theology and mine don't have a lot in common, you know, we both can find a common ground when singing this music, because we both feel very, you know, passionate about the power of the Spirit moving in people's lives.
I have to tell you, I've already booked a flight up to New York for that one. It's something my family loves, jazz. And, you know, you and I talked about this last year. This was a project in the works, but what a great way to celebrate all of our fathers.
Oh, it's coming together. That's so great. Thank you for remembering that. I didn't remember. That's so great. Yeah, it'll be great to see it come to fruition, you know, and then we'll record an album. And, you mentioned about recording. I am recording this summer, the music of another great songwriter. I really love promoting other people's work. When you discover someone, like, I mean, I know I didn't discover my father. He was always there for me, but my neighbor actually is an incredible songwriter. And I've been, you know, getting to know her and her music over the last few years since I moved to West Beth, which is an incredible artist housing building in the West Village that I was on the waiting list for 18 years for and finally got in 2 years ago. I have a rent controlled apartment in the West Village, an incredible game changer in my life. And so this is so perfect because, like, the reason places like this exist is to promote art. So me recording the music of Val Hawk, who is my neighbor here in the building, you know, is just exactly what I think should come out of these types of situations. You know, people, the government puts money into something like this and hopes that it will, you know, yield new work and give artists freedom to do their work instead of having, I mean, I could never afford to live in this neighborhood, you know, even as a successful musician. So, pretty excited about that. That'll be with Reed Hoysen and Billy Test. Billy is a wonderful pianist who is now based in Germany. He plays with the WDR Big Band. So I'm, you know, we could have done anything. And I thought, I've been really involved with the music of Gigi Grice. I thought about doing the project of his music. But, you know, I thought Val, you know, Gigi's long past. Val is still here, and she can really enjoy the fruits of having this professional recording of her music. And I mean, her songs also, I mean, I sound like I'm speaking in such hyperbole, but you'll see Nanette when you hear both my dad and Val's music. They're just outrageously good. And Val also writes her own lyrics and music and the harmonies. And, you know, I was at a concert of her music. She did a concert of her music for her birthday the other day in New York at Pangea. And just song after song after song. And then I got up and sang a song. I was one of the invited guests. And I said to the audience, I said, you know, listening to this music, if she just wrote these lyrics, we would all be, you know, drooling over them. They're so great. They're so witty. And they have such a New York vibe, kind of like between like Dave Frischberg and Bob Dureau, who she worked with Bob Dureau for many years. And I said, so if you just wrote these lyrics, we would be amazed. And I said, if you just wrote these melodies and harmonies, I mean, because they're so good. They're just so, you know, both my father and Val have this great thing in common that I just love, which is when music stays out of its own way, you know, it doesn't sort of draw attention to itself. Like when things are a little weird in jazz for weird's sake, or like people's, I mean, maybe I'm just kind of old fashioned, but I just like it when it doesn't draw attention to itself. You know, it sounds like an everyman song. My father's music, you would never in a million years think it was so sophisticated. Actually, so it's the same with Val. Val's harmonies and her melodies utilize a lot of sophisticated harmonic concepts, and the melodies often hit really interesting chromaticisms. But you would never think that. You just hear a beautiful song. And that, to me, is the mark of a great work of art. I don't want to see the brushstrokes. I want to see the image that it recalls. You know, tell me a story. Don't bother me with your musical stuff. You know what I mean? So I just love that. I love them both. And it's really exciting to be, as a singer, to be able to use my instrument, use my voice to bring forth this great new music, because all music was new at one time. And the world needs this music because they're both very uplifting and sincere.
You know, Alexis, I want to hear what story you can tell us about how you and David Manson hooked up. And first of all, I want to say that this is probably the most eloquent conversation I have had in about a decade. So thank you. If you're, you know, basically, Alexis, you paint with words when you sing. I can't wait to see you perform this year. But tell us a little bit about the story of you and David Manson and the collaboration with this year's orchestra.
Sure. Yeah, that's really great. Nanette, do you know how David and I met? Was it through my agent, Steve Frumkin?
No.
Okay. I think it was through my agent, Steve Frumkin, was the first gig that I had with them. But interesting, like the evolution of that, because I don't exactly recall how I got that first gig with the band, but or maybe David just knew my work and called me. I can't remember. But I was working with and still somewhat do with agent Steve Frumkin, who lives now in Sarasota. So that might have been how that happens.
Interesting.
But I don't remember, honestly. It's been quite a while now. But the more exciting thing about that relationship and me coming to St. Pete to work with Helios over the years is that I was like, oh my gosh, St. Pete is so cool. And I just, the first time I stayed there and I went to the Black Crow, you know, right where I was at, you know, before the sound check, I was like, gosh, St. Pete's really cool. And then I came back twice. I worked twice with David. And then the third time I came back was with pianist Monica Herzig for her Joni Mitchell project tour. Very
oh,
sad
wow.
story. She recorded with this wonderful singer during the pandemic, and they were set to go on tour, and the singer got a heart valve replacement in advance of the tour, knowing that she needed to be well, be healthy, and she actually passed away in the surgery. And
wow.
So Monica called me, you know, kind of worried about what to do, and obviously very heartbroken. They were close friends, and this music was the Friends concept, you know, but they worked on it together. So anyway, I joined that tour for the year, and we did over 30 concerts all around the world. Really, we went. Gosh, we were even in the Canary Islands. I mean, Monica got us booked everywhere, but she also booked us at USF. And we did a concert there, and I rented a car, and I said, you know what, I'm going to look in St. Petersburg. I'm going to drive around. I want to get to know this neighborhood more, because my parents live in Sun City Center. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, but they moved to Sun City Center, and I thought, you know, I could never see myself living in Sun City Center. They would say to me, oh, do you want this house when we die? I was like, no, I don't think I want to live in Sun City, but I was like, but St. Pete is really cool, and it's right next door. And so I rented a car, and I remember it's so funny. I was in traffic. I went to go visit my parents, and then I took the big bridge, the Sunshine Bridge.
Yep.
So I took the Sunshine Bridge, and there was such bad traffic. I actually got off at like the second or third exit and drove around what is now my neighborhood. And the church, right? Yeah. I saw the church, right? That's 22nd Avenue. So
right.
I got up and I drove down. I saw the church. Maybe it was the one south of 22nd Avenue. I can't remember. But there was a church there with jazz vespers. And I was like, this is a great neighborhood. This is amazing. And, you know, it's so close to downtown. And it had all the old Florida that, you know, growing up in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, not in anywhere near like the nice part of Fort Lauderdale, just like the new part of Fort Lauderdale out west, I just had no sense that Florida had a history. It just seemed like the whole place was a big strip mall to me, and I kind of hated Florida. And St. Pete is like, it's calling back to this, you know, like something in my DNA from being growing up in Florida that was never satisfied, like a sense of place. Because, you know, St. Pete really has, you know, through the tireless work of many people, has really done things to preserve its history, to accentuate the stories of our history in St. Pete. So, I mean, the house that I found eventually and bought is a 100-year-old house with original wood floors, and it's just it's old St. Pete. It's next to one of the first cemeteries in St. Pete, and actually now I've restarted I was like, I can't deal with committees and red tape and stuff. So I made like a shadow neighborhood organization. I redid the sign and I made a website, and I just thought that'll do. But then I met so many great people, and they're like, we should start the association again. And somebody whose mother, Kenneth Mack is his name, his mother was the neighborhood association president, Miss Johnny Mack, for 30 years. And he stepped forward and said, oh no, I want to restart the association. So now we did it, and we're registered,
What is the name of that neighborhood?
Yeah, it's very small. It's called Fruitland Heights. It incorporates about 120 houses. We have four churches in this tidy neighborhood, four churches and a couple of businesses, including Blue Nile, which is kind of an iconic spot on 18th and 16th, 18th Avenue and 16th Street, 18th Avenue South. So it's just really great, and the neighborhood is real. You know, Kenneth grew up there in that house, and he and his sister are renovating the house, and he's living there now. And you know, he says the neighborhood isn't. He knew the neighborhood when it was a really nice neighborhood, and I guess in the '60s, and it went quite downhill. But I think the neighborhood is going to have a renaissance I think it's having that, you know, I'm trying to convince Kenneth that it is having a renaissance because, you know, he's comparing it to his youth, which nothing's ever going to compare to, you know, to your memory, right? But it, we're doing a neighborhood cleanup on April 5th when I come down. Isn't that fun?
Cool.
Yeah, and we went, we made yard signs and, you know, we went to the church and passed out postcards and people are joining, people from neighboring neighborhoods are going to join and hopefully it'll help to stimulate membership in the new organization. We designed garden flags and it's just, we just have a great group of people. I have the most amazing tenants in my place and I'm actually working on building a little apartment in the back. So if I need to be down there, you know, to help out my parents or if I just want to come down for a few months, I'll have somewhere to be, and it'll also be, you know, sort of a retirement asset for me to have that. So it's a new chapter in my life. Being a landlord is something I never envisioned for myself, but my partner is really handy, and we went down there and worked on the house together for 8 months, you know, just upgrading it and making it wonderful. So it was such an honor to serve this historic property in that way.
You know, it's so amazing because since we spoke last year, you now have two incredible spaces from which to just be this incredible artist. It's almost like you're into this next encore chapter where one foot is here, one foot is in this artist community in the West Village, which I know exactly what you're talking about, that building. Mm-hmm. And then you're on the road. So either place you come back to puts you back in place. And it's interesting that there are four churches, given that your father did Christian music.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. Well, and he actually has a camp spot like with a really nice double wide in Orlando. So he's actually splitting his time between upstate New York and Orlando for the last 5 or 6 years since he retired. And so he could actually come. We could do a concert at one of these churches or, you know, there's a lot of possibility there for sure.
Well, folks, if you've just tuned in to Music Scene, I'm your host, Annette Weiser. I'm talking to their incredible vocalist, instructor, teacher, coach, amazing woman, Alexis Cole. She will be part of the St. Pete Jazz Festival on April 1st at the Palladium. I understand you're going to be teaching a vocal class as well when you're down here, Alexis.
Yes, on April 3rd at the College of St. Pete.
That is wonderful. So listen, we know that you have to catch a plane to go off to another concert. So before we go, just let our audience know a couple of the songs that you'll be swinging and with the band with.
Sure. Yeah, we're going to do a great arrangement that I actually got from David and added to my permanent repertoire, which is Sway, arrangement of that. And we're going to be doing some great jazz standards like Bye Bye Blackbird. And I think we're going to do Scott Archangel's wonderful arrangement of Billy Joel's New York State of Mind. And last year, I released a big band album with the Taipei Jazz Orchestra. So we're going to be doing a few cuts from that, including their version of Bye Bye Blackbird and Billy Joel's Uptown Girl. So I'm really excited to share this music with everybody.
Well, thank you, Alexis Cole, for joining us at Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.FM, where local music lives. We will see you on April 1st. Thanks, Alexis, for your time today.
Thank you so much, Nanette. It's always great to talk to you over the years. You're the best.
Double back at you. See you on the 1st, my friend.
Okay, see you then. Bye.